Good morning, everyone. It's just been such a glorious week, and the concert last night was really one of my most memorable experiences throughout Ananda's history. You know, I want to take one moment to, you see these beautiful flags all around the community. We've been remiss in not thanking our brothers and sisters from Assisi who donated these flags to us for our 50th anniversary. So our topic this morning is Swami Kriyananda's and Ananda's role in world consciousness. And we have a wonderful panel of speakers. We'll begin with Sri Kartikeyan. Jyotish will tell you a bit about him.
I'll introduce Sri Kartikeyan because many of you don't know him. He's probably far better known throughout the world than anyone else in the temple today. He was the former head of the CBI, which is India's FBI, and was a marvelous leader and world famous for that. Now he has become a humanitarian. He travels the world ceaselessly, going everywhere, helping with world peace, with very important projects in the world, with overcoming poverty, with helping health and healing. He has started many, many initiatives throughout India. In addition to that, he's a deeply spiritual soul, and he is connected to, serves on the board of many, maybe 15 or 20 large spiritual organizations around the world. But he's dear to our heart especially. First of all, he's a Kriyaban. Secondly, he's a great, great friend of Ananda. But most importantly, he is and was a dear friend of Swami Kriyananda. Swamiji said that he felt that Kartikeyanji was his Indian brother. And it has appeared that way because he has helped Ananda and Swamiji's work greatly. It's both my pleasure and a little ironic that I have the pleasure of introducing him today, because he goes around and introduces Devi and me when we give discourses in India. He's always there for us and for Ananda. Thank you, Sri Kartikeyanji. Nayaswami Dharmadas, probably most of you know. He served heroically, he's a long-term member of Ananda, and now he and Nirmala serve as the directors of the Sacramento Center. I'll let Devi introduce Narya.
And also to mention about Dharmadas, he and Nirmala were part of the founding team in India, and they served there laying the foundation for the first 10 years, so no small task. Narya and his family have been friends of Ananda and Swami for 25 years, 30 years, okay. When he met, they are part of the leadership team in Ananda Assisi. And when he first met Swamiji, he and his family, his wonderful wife, Laura, who is just a bubble of light and love, I've never seen her other than that all these years, and they have two wonderful children. Swami suggested that they come in the early days, 30 years ago, that they come and live at Ananda Village so they could really absorb what the work was here. And they did that for several years with their children. And now he's part of the leadership team, as I say, in Assisi. And his special job, one might say, he's our diplomat extraordinaire. He just makes contacts with government leaders, other communities, financial groups, and he just, county officials, and he just bank officials. He just is able to integrate our work in a very effective way, and it's been a tremendous help to our work there. So these three will speak, starting with Sri Kartikeyanji, Dharmadasji Narya, and then Jyotish, and finally I'll pull up the caboose.
I'll make just one tiny addition, which is that Narya, many years ago, I mentioned to someone that he was wonderful at making connections. And then he made a correction. He said, "I don't make connections, I make friends." And it really does show his nature. So now we will invite the choir to sing.
Or is joy all? Buongiorno. Namaste, namaskaram, vanakkam, and good morning to all of you. For me, it is homecoming. Many ask me about my association with Swamiji. I said, I can't talk to you individually, there may be an opportunity. But I know this opportunity is for something else. But I'm going to share some thoughts. Before that, happy birthday to Ananda. Happy anniversary. Happy birthday to Riviji. And I'm sure all of you know very well, recently, there was a global award given to Ananda. For those who may not have known, and those who have known also, I would like to read that particular passage. Ananda receives Global Ambassador Peace Award. How many of you have not heard it? Kindly raise your hands. There are quite a few have not heard, but it's worth listening to. And also what they said when receiving it. That is the Institute of International Social Development, an international non-governmental organization in special consultative status with the Economic and Social Council at the UN. It is recognized as a UN award, actually. The citation says, there are very few leaders like Jyotish and Devi. We are honored to give them the Global Ambassador Peace Award for the inspiring ways Ananda brings Paramahansa Yogananda's spiritual wisdom to life today. In response, Mahaswami Jyotishji said, I quote, Yogananda's mission was to spread the teachings of meditation and Kriya Yoga as tools for the evolution of personal and planetary consciousness. He came to show how everyone can use meditation to enhance their daily life. Mahaswami Deviji said at that occasion, reading Yogananda's prayer for a united world at the United Nations today was a great honor. In response to the great uncertainty people are feeling today, Ananda founded Be the Change. Already close to 2,300 people in 70 countries have pledged their meditation minutes to radiate 1,000,000 hours of peace and harmony to the world. Mahaswami Jyotishji said, Be the Change gives people a positive action, meditation, to help them transcend their fears and anger about the state of our world. Deviji said, we all need to take personal responsibility for the state of our world today. Our challenges are precious spiritual opportunities. Meditation raises our consciousness. Only with an uplifted consciousness will we achieve a sustainable living and harmony on our planet. Meditation is how we can be the change we wish to see in the world. Don't they deserve standing ovation? You know, the spiritual masters all through the ages, all over the world, they considered this planet as one, not as divided to so many countries by the political forces. 2,500 years back, Lord Buddha attained enlightenment through the technology called Vipassana. You know about it. Then himself he said, this will disappear from the land of his birth, Bharat, but will come back after 2,000 years from somewhere else. It so happened 50 years back, a master called Satyanarayan Goenkaji from Burma, a very leading jeweler, he got the benefit of Vipassana meditation. And the Buddhist teacher told him, it is time for Vipassana to go back to its land of birth. So giving up all those riches, he came back. Nobody was interested in that. But he had to knock at doors. He has told me very well. Knock at the doors of friends, relations, with great reluctance, they say. That started today, Vipassana is a global movement again. That's why I'm telling you, because between the masters, spirituality, there is no division. Same thing with happened, Hare Krishna movement, ISKCON movement. The Prabhupada, at the age of 70, he was told by his master, you know the value of Krishna movement, you are good in English, go to the West, take it. At the age of 70, not in good health, because of the devotion to Guru is like our Swami's devotion to his master, comparable to that. He had no money also. He went by a cargo ship, 2 months he traveled, and went to Boston with just some books, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. And he went, he knew nobody, there was no money with him. He sat in the park and started chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Some laughed at him, some took interest in him. Then within 10 years, you know, how the ISKCON movement has grown. It has grown far faster than what happened in India. Can you believe? Processions in New York cities, all by the Americans. See, these are all, there is no race and religion, color, caste for these people who are spiritual minded people. So here, again, Kriya Yoga is an ancient technology of Indian masters, since for some reason it disappeared. It felt the lot of Paramahansa Yogananda-ji. Thanks to Babaji's and then the line of gurus, he went to the West. He has gone also through a lot of tribulations, like our Swami has gone through. But still, he revived Kriya Yoga, meditation. Now it's spreading very fast. We all know very well. Again, it was to Swami Yogananda-ji. He told me, I know, having seen this place where he lived, I used to say that is the best place on earth to live, where Swamiji is crystal hermitage and all that. He came to Gurgaon, not a very healthy, happy place to start with. I told Swamiji, he said, no, I have to take this technology to the land of my master's birth. That's my task. You know all that happened, part of history, everybody knows very well. So these, for these masters, they're all spiritual movements are concerned. There's no religion. We have seen yesterday what a beautiful performance. International, mini world was on the stage. Everybody. So that way, you know, this is the super consciousness, is the only possibility which can create a world like this. And Jyoti ji knows, Devi ji knows, one of you know, I am deeply involved in many other spiritual organizations. Wherever they call me, if they are doing good, I go. But I tell them also, there are good people in many organizations, many are enlightened, many are happy. But I say, this is the only place where I have seen everyone so enlightened, happy, harmonious, within the family, between the communities and all that. That's how it was thought to be a model village, model community to spread all over the world. Swamiji, with a lot of, he has gone through all trouble here, started with one man show. Today it's a global movement and spreading very fast. And that is an indication of this beautiful temple of light being born here. On the day Jyotiji, Deviji was born here, and the global award has come now. So all this shows, you know, the right time has come for this movement to spread very, very, very fast now. I see the time is running up now. Now, you see again, the Hare Krishna movement has gone all over, all the major cities in the world have got it now. Now the biggest temple is coming up in Mayapur near Calcutta. I've been there recently also. To complete the project, Ford, Alfred Ford III, he has given $25 million. Another $25 million he is collecting. What I'm saying is, born in a religion doesn't mean you should not accept anything else. Anything happening good in the world, the essence of all religion is the same. That's why they asked me, you are involved in 25 organizations, what is their motive? I said, interreligious harmony is my motive. Because today, even though we have more technology, advantages, comforts than our fathers, our parents and grandparents, but can we say the world is enjoying peace and harmony to the extent? No. So much of distress, stress. Experts tell me the biggest problem today is the stress. People are committing suicide, people are committing murders, drug addiction. So we have wealth and comfort doesn't bring you peace and harmony. That is why the world is realizing the importance of spiritual movements. One spiritual movement is not enough. I openly say that because people are of different temperaments. They need different antidotes, relief medicines. So, but there is a time, and there are also, the vast majority are not spiritual. They don't believe in anything. So they are to be brought back to the right path, values and attitude and all that. So now there is enormous scope for this movement to spread much faster. I'm happy the largest number of Indians have participated in this. Though the technology came from India, and Swamiji was very fond of India. I'm very proud to have been associated with him. He loved me so much, and I had traveled with him. Last journey in India, he said, I want to request you, please be with me in all my major functions. I was with him all major functions, excepting one. For statutory reasons, I could not escape from that. And I spoke to him, and then he spoke. And whenever he quiet, wherever he goes on, I close my eyes, I see him. I see him leading the choir yesterday. What a voice. It's a divine voice, not a golden voice. All that. And humility and affection, courtesy, hospitality. So I'm so happy he has entrusted responsibility to most deserving colleagues of his, Jyotiji and Deviji. I've been seeing they are doing a great job. Again, talking to everyone, I'm seeing them. They can connect everybody. I ask, do you remember the names of everybody? They are telling the truth like Swami. I can't remember the names, but I remember the face. I can see one-to-one how much people feel, you know, energized, enlightened and all that. And they've got a nice set of monks now in India. It's going to have a great growth led by senior Nayaswami is there, and the time has come for the movement to grow much faster. It's going to happen, and I'm sure. But the only thing is, you know, each one of us, by getting benefited, we should not happy, okay, I'll do my meditation happy. If that is so, why should Paramahansa Yogananda come to India, to America? If that is so, why should Donald Walters become a Swami and keep traveling non-stop all the time? Because there is a saying in Tamil, non petra inbam peruga payagam. The joy I'm having, I should spread it to the maximum number of people. That's the reason. They are not young. They look young, but they are not young. Traveling all the time and all because they want to share this joy and the philosophy to as many people as possible. So each one of us have a responsibility. Take care on the 50th anniversary, we are all here. You see, at least I will spread it to 100 more persons. Help the movement. Talk to them. So there is only vow you can take. And super consciousness is concerned, it is example here, the village here, the movement itself. Otherwise, how can you become like that? I've been talking to children. The children are so proud of their parents. Parents are so proud of the children. Not once, I've been here 3 times, enjoyed the hospital, some good people traveling around and all that. So this is ultimately an ideal situation. This is, each one of here, everybody is in a super conscious state, otherwise this result of atmosphere cannot be created. Now I have a lot to say that, but I had a privilege of launching 3 books of Swamiji in Delhi. One was Essence of Bhagavad Gita. That was done in the largest hall in Delhi. It was released by the most important person, Chief Minister and all that. I had the privilege of going with Swamiji to Italy also. And that Italian translation was launched in the, I forget the name, what is the name of the hall? You remember? The dome. Swamiji said, I'm surprised Vatican allowed it to happen. See, change of heart and everybody changing. He said, normally they would have resented it because you follow Sanatana Dharma. All Swami is here. But they allowed it, the most prestigious hall, I was there. And Swamiji was a great person. That's all I can say that. He had first visit to Chennai. He had never been to Chennai. And in the last visit, traveling around, Music Academy is the most prestigious hall. That was full, about 3,000 people. More came outside. Everybody, all of us were surprised. So I told Swamiji at the dinner, Swamiji, next time when you come here, we'll arrange it in the indoor stadium. He said, I would like to, but I don't think this body will allow. He was conscious of that, you know. He was conscious of any of whatever it is. We were fortunate to have him here with us for so long. And I'm privileged, blessed to, to have been with him, to be referred by him as his brother. And yes, last visit in Italy, Assisi, after this I close. I don't know the time, maybe I've exceeded, I don't know. But only this episode I'll do it. And he invited me, I was there, his guest. One day, every day we spent a lot of time. I knew what all he has gone through here, good times, bad times in Assisi. We knew everything. So one day I told him, Swamiji, I've been to Damanur. What is Damanur? I joked, I said, I'm happy. I could tell you something you do not know in Italy. He says, where is Damanur? I told him under the Alps Mountain, the spiritual community, and all that. He said, no, you take me there. So he rang up, informed them. Very next day, went there, enjoyed it. On his way back, whenever he got down, he used to, you know, what should I say? He couldn't stand on his legs, you know. I used to catch hold of him. So I had about a dozen opportunities to prevent him physically from falling down. And of course, once he stands before the mic, you know, what all happens, you know, takes him, and the way he sings and all that. We miss his voice, we miss him. But in a way, at Moksha Mandir, if you remember, I said that great masters, when they leave the body, they become more powerful. That is just from Jesus Christ you have seen everywhere. Many of them were suffered in their lifetime. But Swamiji was celebrated in his lifetime also. He said now he has become liberated from the body. his influence and power will grow much faster everywhere. And that is what's happening. So let's keep it going by our dedication to him and cooperating with these true great masters. Thank you.
Kanji just said, I didn't touch on the subject, meaning he had other pages here. I think he touched on the subject quite well, actually. Yesterday evening at the concert, something happened that, for those who were here or those who were able to listen online, I perceived that we were, all of us, given a gift. For me, that gift came around the time that the strings, the beautiful cellos led by David Eby and others played Life is a Quest for Joy. And for others of you, it may have come with a different song. I can't capture in words what that gift is, what that gift was and is, but I know that it was given. And gifts like that come with a kind of responsibility because, as Kartikeyanji was saying, we have to continue this. We have to give this. He was saying, share it with 100 people. I don't know that you can say quantitatively, but qualitatively, we have to share that. We have to give that away. It's a little bit perishable, you might say. It's something that, when once given, must be passed on very sensitively. I want to thank everyone involved in the music from my heart. Jeannie, Ramesha, Bhagavati, David Eby, everyone who sang, everyone who played. Just, it was so touching. Just. I don't know if you can feel this. I have a feeling all of us can. When we come into this temple, something happens. Something changes inside of us. We stand up a little straighter. We sit up a little straighter. But there's something already here. You know, a building is a building. You know, God knows many of us here have built a few buildings in our lives. It's a pile of lumber and drywall and paint and so forth. And yet, you walk into this place and it already has a spiritual vibration. There's already, this instrument is already sweetened with devotion. Today is day one. 50 years have gone by. We can say that this is the end of the beginning. It's now the end of the beginning. We've spent 50 years to lay the foundation. It's a deep foundation. And now, as Kartikeyanji was saying, we can construct a spiritual work in the world. We can construct a spiritual life, a spiritual way of life in the world. I want to tell you a secret about this temple. And it doesn't have anything to do with the physical construction of it, or the yantras that are buried underneath and all the wonderful things that in that way, although those things are, I'm sure, marvelous. This temple is actually portable. Believe it or not, this temple will fit in your hand luggage on your way home. Wait till after the dedication tomorrow before you take it with you, so that we have something to dedicate tomorrow. But take it seriously. Take it in your heart. take this place in your heart. Take it home with you and honor it. Bless it. Bless it with your devotion. And then share it with others, because that's what this ray requires of us. The topic today being Ananda's and Swamiji's place in world consciousness. I don't know that I can, you know, Jyotishji many years ago said that Ananda is not really an organization. And there were times when that was perhaps more true than other times, but he said it's more like a song or a piece of art that is, it has its own grace, it has its own movement, it has its own blessing that comes forth. And feel that song flowing through. David Eby yesterday shared an axiom that I'll repeat, and I will add something to it. He said, he quoted Swamiji as saying, if you want to know me, listen to my music. And then he beautifully added, if you want to feel Swamiji's consciousness, sing that music or play it or in some way express it. And I'll add one more thought to that. If you want to become the consciousness that produced or I should say received that music, become the music. And yesterday evening, I felt like we could just touch that music. And it was not a static thing. It wasn't just notes on the page. Lots of people, lots of wonderful composers down through the ages have composed music and they've put notes on the page. But those notes by themselves don't convey consciousness necessarily until they come through someone's heart. And watching everyone's faces, and Swamiji used to sit in the front row at these concerts, and you know, we would see him, and he had this interesting way. His face did not always convey his state of consciousness. He was also often very focused, and you know, partly in his later years, because I think he was trying to hear very well, and his, you know, between fighting with the hearing aids and so forth, he was very concentrated, and sometimes it looked like he wasn't always enjoying it, and yet afterwards he was. But he would always express, I see in your eyes, I see in your hearts the blessing that's coming through. And he always expressed that afterwards. So all of us, we are a song. We are a vibration that can go out into the world. I want to just share a couple of little vignettes from Swamiji's life to show how his life, because what we have to share came, we learned of Master, we experienced Master through Swamiji, and occasionally through a few other direct disciples, but very few really in the grand scheme of things. Swamiji, when we lived in India, there was a young girl who served in our home. She would come every day and she would clean the floors. Her name was Sumitra. And one day she came. She was Bengali, and Swamiji, every time he was around someone Bengali, he would dust off his Bengali and he would exercise it. He would always greet her and others in Bengali and share a few words. And in the way of these things in India, that person, she was sort of trained, in a sense, to disappear. She did her job. You know, her job is in the home there. And someone could be very disruptive if they were always sort of drawing attention to themselves. And so she was actually quite good at becoming invisible when she needed to, and which was a lot of the time. But anyway, this one particular day she came to our home, and she was disturbed. She was distraught, and it was immediately clear that there was something wrong, and we didn't know what, and it was difficult to communicate. She didn't have much English, and we had littler Bengali. But Swamiji, when she saw him, spoke to her because she wanted to understand what was happening. And it turned out that a child in her family, a close child in her family, had died unexpectedly and tragically. And she was, you know how with a little child when they cry, you can tell immediately, is this real or is this just, wah, 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 I want attention. Well, this was real for her. These were genuine tears. And Swamiji this was an unscripted moment. There is no sort of protocol for how this kind of situation evolves. And Swamiji sat in his chair, and he invited her to come, and she sat by his feet, and she talked with him in Bengali. And she felt his comfort. He couldn't say a lot to her. I mean, there's a limited amount of conversation that can happen in a situation. I mean, what can you say? It wasn't Swamiji's job to bring a child that he never knew and never had any connection to back to life. The child had passed away. But he comforted her in a genuine way. And I remember she sat at his feet, and he used to wear these little fuzzy slippers to keep his feet warm, because it was sort of cold in the wintertime there, and the marble was cold. And they were very soft, and she petted his foot. It was just the sweetest thing. But in some way, he touched her life. Now, what became of it, I don't know, because we lost touch with her after we moved. But in that moment, he just gave of himself, and it was from his heart, and it was very real. That is Swami Kriyananda's place in world consciousness. And that is Ananda's place in world consciousness. Yes, we can build a big organization, and we can touch millions, and we need to, actually. It's quite important. But it still has to go from one person, one heart, to one heart. There was another, I'll just share one other brief story. Swamiji was having surgery for cancer, and this is another very unscripted moment. There's no protocol for how you deal with this sort of thing. He was going in for surgery, and Padma and Hriman will remember, and Miriam and Leela and Nirmalaji and myself, we were waving to him goodbye, and he's about to go into the surgery and sort of has his insides taken apart and put back together again, and hopefully come out of that in one piece and well, which ultimately he did, obviously. But in that moment, he's, you know, it's a very vulnerable moment. You're sort of being wheeled on a gurney, and it's, for us, it was a bit horrifying because we really didn't know what would happen and how we would carry on if he didn't come out of that. He waved to us like he was going on a boat, like he was just this big smile. He had this funny little orange hat. He was wearing his Geiru colors then. And it just was like he was about to go on the boat and go for a ride, and he would be back pretty soon. After that surgery, the doctor came out. That doctor looked like he had been in a deep meditation. He was flying and, you know, told us the course of the surgery, that it was successful. He was just absolutely centered and blissful. Swamiji was in ICU for 5 days, and we could only see him for 30 seconds to a minute per day, per each of us. We were all sort of ushered in there one at a time. And I remember the first time that I went in to see him, you know, he's just had his insides put back together again. He's off of anesthesia. He has no painkillers in him. He is in excruciating pain in that moment. And he took my hand and he sort of spoke very briefly. He just sort of, for once in his life, he just received. A day or two later, I went in. And again, I had my 30 seconds to a minute with him. And he said something to me. Again, I sort of leaned over and he whispered in my ear a little. He was stronger by that point, and he did have some painkillers at that point, so he was feeling a little bit better. He said something very unexpected to me. He said, everyone should go through this. And it was, whoa. But obviously he didn't mean everyone should suffer in that way. But what he meant was, everyone should be absolutely with Divine Mother. He felt Divine Mother holding him. He was as vulnerable as could possibly be. He was, you know, he couldn't take even liquid. They could sort of moisten his mouth a little bit, you know, with one of those little swabby things and give him an ice cube, but he had to spit it out. I mean, it was just as sort of simple as it could possibly be. And yet what he was saying is, be with the divine. Be with God without any veil, without any protection, without nothing that we, you know, so often we hold ourselves away like I have to protect myself. No, he just said, be with God. And then share that. Not in an overt way, but just touch someone's heart in a way that they can respond to. David Eby's cello yesterday, you know, with the notes. Think of it that way. We play our note and someone else's heart who's in tune with that will resonate. It will vibrate by the laws of God. That's what Ananda can give to the world.
Buongiorno. In Italy, we don't ask permission to do things. We ask forgiveness after we have done things. And so I ask your forgiveness for my English. We are talking about which is Swami Kriyananda and Ananda part in the world consciousness. But I would like to talk a little bit before, which is our part in Swami Kriyananda consciousness. Not mine, each one of us. That is the base where we can grow and spread Master teachings and the experience of this community in the world. Because people understand the fruits, and then they recognize if the tree is good or not. And we are all fruit of one big tree. And the name of this tree is Paramahansa Yogananda. And we have to face this every day. We have a responsibility. Every day, we need to be committed to this responsibility. Each moment, not only when we are in the temple, but when we are home, when we are meeting people, when we are answering the phone, when we are eating. This is our big job for the future. I want to share with you a story, very deep story, who changed my friendship with Swami. You know, in 2004, Jyotish and Devi were there, and also Anand, Kirtani, and Shivani were there. Nine of us went to jail with false accusation. And Swami didn't go because he was in India, starting master work there. We stayed a few days in prison, and then we came home. Home arrest. And then after we got home, the police captain came in my home and said, you're not free. You are in prison in your home. I says, fine, what that means? You cannot talk to anybody. You cannot talk on the phone. Just your family. You cannot go out. Because if you don't do this, we will take you back to jail. I say, okay. Can I call my father? He said, yes. Only your father, your mother. Because we are listening. Every phone conversation. And if you talk to other people, you go back to jail. Okay, said, okay, fine. So the police went out of the door, they closed the door, In that moment, the phone rang. Less than 2 minutes later, the phone rang. I answered the phone. I said, "Buongiorno, Narya, sono Swami." I was a dead person. What can I do if I answer the phone? If I answer, I go back to jail. If I don't answer, I will feel guilty the rest of my life. In that moment, Saint Peter came in my mind when he denied Jesus 3 times. And my next word was, "Hello, Swami, I'm Narya." And he said, "Nice to hear your voice." And I said, "Swami, nice to hear your voice." My mind was thinking, was waiting. The police coming to get me. Because Swami was the leader of our criminal association. He was the last person that I could talk to. And then Swami said an important thing. He said, "This challenge is for masterwork. Don't feel guilty for that. This is for masterwork." And then he said, "If you want, I can come back tomorrow. I come back tomorrow because if I can help to solve the situation, I'm ready to fly back in this moment." I said, "No, Swami. No, Swami, don't come, please. We can manage this situation." And then there was a long pause. Swami understood that I was going back to jail. And after this pause, he said, "Swami, I love you very much." And his answer was, "Narya, I love you too." And then I sat on the chair, waiting for the police to come back. Those moments were worth it, a lifetime in prison. How can you deny a saint like Swami? Impossible. But the police didn't come back. The police were stopped by Swami energy. And that changed completely my understanding of Swami. My friendship went much, much, much deeper. Because if you are on Swami's sand, everything will go well. Challenges will come. Don't worry, they are always there. We don't have to call them, they are there. But if we give our life to Him, if we go into His consciousness, it will change our life. And when challenge come, He's there with us. We have a big work to do. Our life is not long enough. Swami's life was not long enough. But we are the next phase of Swami. And after 50 years, I think we must take seriously this commitment. Just a brief story, because I don't want to take time from Jyotish and Devi. We were flying with Swamiji from Perugia Airport to Milano. He was going vacation for a few days. Many of you came also to Lugano with Swami. Lugano is in Switzerland, and he loved that very much, that place. And he was not doing well. I was sitting next to Swami, and the hostess came and with a cookie. And I want that cookie, but... And then I said, no, better not, because Swami's blood sugar was high. I said, better not. And Swami catch my thought. He took one cookie. He broke the cookie in two pieces, and he gave me a cookie. And then he said, my body is so tired of this life. It's very, very tired. I wish I can go to Master soon. He said that many times. But in this time, I had the courage to ask him, what about us, Swami? What can we do without you? You are our light. You are our example of life. You are the voice of Master. And every time we hear, we see you, our energy goes up and change our consciousness. And he said, be careful. But he said, I will be always with you. What a promise. It's not a light promise. It's a very serious commitment. And what can we do to fulfill this promise? We have to go here. Outside things are less important. We have to go here and feel his presence every day. And he will work through us every day. I want to share a joke of Swami. Just there were four ladies. Maybe you know all this joke. The first lady tell to the other three, my son is a bishop. And every time people see him, they call him His Excellence. Oh, the other said, oh, God, God, God. And the second one said, my son is a cardinal. And every time people see him, they call his Eminence. Oh, important. The third one said, my son is a pope. And everybody, people see him, he call his Holiness. And the fourth lady, poor lady, didn't know what to do, what to say. And she said, my son is 7 feet tall, the shoulders are like this, and when people see him, they said, oh my God. This is Swami's joy. We don't have to take our life too seriously. It's nice to have fun together. The best way to share the friendship we have between all of us, with Swami and with all our Master. God bless you.
I hope you all realize that Narya just broke his cookie in half and gave us half of it. You know, as Dharmadas said, that we can take this temple with us. Obviously, the temple is not a building. It isn't even a building as we sit in it. It's a vibration. And if you can take what you're feeling in your heart right now and share it with someone else, you will have begun to spread Ananda and Swami and Master and God's work throughout the world. One time, Swami said, a couple of times, he was asked the question, what is Ananda's mission in the world? And one time he said that Ananda's mission is to balance the world on the spiritual plane, because it isn't physical, it's the vibrational balance that needs to take place. So Ananda's work is to balance the world on the spiritual plane. At another time he said, Ananda's mission is to have fun. Now that sounds like two different answers, but it isn't. Because we cannot balance the world on a spiritual plane unless we have fun. Because fun is the tiny little first step, the baby step toward bliss. And that's what every heart in the world is seeking. It's seeking bliss. And the more we can, as I said, if we can share what we're feeling right now with the world, with our world, then we will have done our part. And we might all think, yes, but I'm just one person. What can I do? I can't do very much. I remember one time when I was quite young, probably 10 years old, there was a television program that was trying to show what the atomic reaction inside of an atomic nuclear plant or a bomb was like, and they wanted to demonstrate that. And so the way they did that is they had a large room, as probably square but as large as the stage here, and they had taken probably 1,000 mouse traps, and on each mouse trap they had set a ping pong ball. And then the scientist in a nice lab coat, white lab coat, giving him authority, took a single ping pong ball and threw it in the middle. And that hit one of the traps, and it flipped up as well as the other one, and that hit four. And within a second, all the ping pong balls in the room were flying. Now think of that as being the world stage. And you and I are one of those ping pong balls. So when we share what we have with others, then they too are elevated and they share with someone else. It's the elevation of consciousness that will solve the world's problems. That's why that's Ananda's mission. And it is only the elevation of consciousness. It cannot be done through politics. It cannot be done through business. It cannot be done through technology. They can all, if properly used, be means to elevate the consciousness. But they cannot, in and of themselves, do it. The Dalai Lama said that the world is made in such a way that people should be loved and money should be used. But unfortunately, in these days, money is loved and people are used. And we have to turn that and all of the corollary statements like that, we have to turn them back around, because we must share with the world the love and upliftment that we have received. Dharmadas talking about Swami being in the hospital reminded me of probably many people in the room have Swami in the hospital stories. Because not only did he spend considerable time there, it's where we saw him demonstrate the teachings. So one time, I think it was after one of his hip surgeries, he was in the local hospital here. And we came, as many others had come, and his room was filled with flowers. And There were, I don't know, five or six of us there at the time. And he said, you know, my room is full of flowers. I'll bet there are people in this hospital who don't have anyone to bring them flowers. Take these flowers and go around and look in to the rooms. And if you see anyone without flowers, take them in and give them the flowers, but don't just hand off the flowers. Sit and talk with them a little while. And so he was saying, these flowers are a symbol of love. Bring love to everyone. That's the ping pong ball that we need to throw. We need to throw a bouquet of flowers to touch everyone. And it isn't just a kind of a abstract image. You know, yesterday's panel, we saw these beautiful, beautiful expressions. We were talking with our dear friend Pia afterwards, and she said, what was so very impressive about it is not just the fact that each of those speakers were able to speak so eloquently, were able to share so clearly. What was really moving is that they are living what they were talking about. They are doing what they are hoping that they can bring into the world. Last night's concert was absolutely stunning. And we had 130 people here singing. This was from all over the world. People were in that choir. And yesterday's parade of the flags. Davy and I had to share Kleenex with each other. Because to see the honoring of all the nations and the coming together and the love and the respect and the joy, but to see all of that harmony, all of that joy, all of that love working together, being expressed throughout the nations, throughout differences. See, yoga and meditation and what Master brought and what Swamiji brought is unity. And when we feel unity with each other, when we feel unity within ourselves, the whole world can be cured and uplifted. Division is the enemy. Ego is the enemy. Maya is the enemy. The separation is the enemy. And this temple brings everyone's hearts together. This week brings everyone's hearts together from all over the world. I'm sure that people have had this experience. After 2 days here, meeting a stranger that they have never met before, they feel closer to that stranger than they do to their own families that they were born with. Why is that? Because the real family is the family of the heart and the family of love and joy and upliftment and caring and unity. This is the United Nations, the real United Nations. And we all have to be ambassadors of peace. So how do we become ambassadors of peace? Swamiji said something very beautiful one time. He said, for many, many years, I have prayed to Master to guide every thought that I think. Think about that. Every thought that I think. Then he said, I just recently realized in meditation that that's not enough. I want him now to guide every thought that I think, every feeling that I feel, every impulse, every act, every speech, every word that I say. I want him to guide that. And I want to be completely in tune with him. And toward the end of his life, he then said, I don't know where Kriyananda leaves off, where Master begins and where Kriyananda begins and where he leaves off. It all seems one to me now. I was meditating a couple of days ago deeply on that. And I was trying to feel in myself those resistances that I have that said, no, I want to think my own thoughts. I want to be free to watch a movie when I want. I want to be all those little subliminal thoughts that we all carry. Those are the things that we, if we're going to be powerful ambassadors of global peace and harmony and joy, and if Ananda is to finish its mission of uplifting world consciousness, then those are the things that we have to individually and daily keep trying to offer up to God. Because only by being a channel of God will we be able to do this work. Swami said to Dhyana that she asked him in India about, she had concerns about carrying on the work there. Swami said, Dhyana, this is not your work. This is not my work. This is Babaji's and Master's work, and they will take care of it. So this consciousness that they come with, that they represent, is going to change the world. That's not the question. The question is, are we going to be participants in that? Because if we choose not to, the wave will move on and we will lose the chance to ride that wave like a good surfer. It will move on and some other surfers will enjoy that ride. Frankly, I'd prefer to catch the wave. And I think all of you will too. So our job is not to create a movement. Our job is to do our very best to be in tune and to stay in tune with Master and with Swamiji, to try our very best to feel that we do not want a single thought, a single feeling, a single act or word that is not guided by Master and guided by Babaji. Because if we can do our best to do that, and it takes also coordination and cooperation. That concert last night was absolutely beautiful. 130 voices singing together, singing one song with each individual voice blending with the others. And I'm sure those of us who were here and saw and heard it were just carried into a high plane of consciousness. But imagine for a minute that each of those singers decided, I want to sing my own song. I'm not sure that the music would have carried us quite so high. Even if they had said, I'm going to sing Swami's song, and everyone chose a different one, I'm still not sure that the music would have been quite so beautiful. But if you had gone and questioned them, they might have said, but I'm singing Swami's song, I'm in tune. So we not only need to sing the right song, but we need to work with each other and listen to each other and blend with each other. Someone told me something that I really loved. They said that when the choir was practicing their one, imagine that, one rehearsal to draw that choir together from all over the world. When they were doing that one rehearsal, it could be heard all over the upper part of Ananda. And so the power of all those voices singing in harmony and singing together creates a powerful vibration. Imagine when we all sing the song of Master and Swamiji and Babaji, and we all sing it together, and we sing it as beautifully as each of us can individually, and we attune ourselves to each other. Imagine the power of that song that will go around the world. And that song is not just in music, it's in science, it's in medicine, it's in organization, it's in leadership, it's in 1,000 different songs that Master and Swamiji have written for us, 1,000 different ways to serve. And as we all tune in to that one director and that one script writer, when we attune our energies to them, there's nothing that we cannot accomplish. Many hands will indeed make a miracle, and that miracle will change the world. Master said, my words are registered in the ether, in the name of God, and they shall move the West, and they'll move the world. And our choice is whether we want to participate in that. And if we do, the channel is always blessed by that which flows through it. So God bless us all.
So, what would Swamiji tell us that he would like to leave with us to carry on this work? I'd like to start by reading in his own words his legacy. My legacy to Ananda is spiritual in nature primarily, and consist of the teachings, ideals, and vibrations that I have received from my guru, Paramahansa Yogananda. My wish is that Ananda always remain true to these principles and remain faithful to the following twin ideals based on the example and teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. One, that Ananda strictly honored the dictum, people are more important than things, for people, especially in their spiritual needs, will always be more important than any organizational exigency. Two, that Ananda remained true to our motto, Jato Dharma Tato Jaya, where there is adherence to right attitude and action, there is victory. Indeed, Ananda should define victory itself in terms of this principle, and never seek victory, even for the sake of its own survival, at the cost of that principle. If Ananda's institutional survival demands that this ideal be compromised, survival itself will no longer be worthwhile. For again, Ananda is a spiritual institution primarily. It is, moreover, a spiritual ideal, for the meaning of Ananda is divine bliss. Kindness and compassion must always and resolutely be given primary consideration. They are more important than the best thought out rules and precedents. My statement in this paragraph must, however, be construed in the light of the divine truth, which, although always loving, is at the same time impersonal. Thus, even as physicians may demonstrate greater actual compassion when they inflict a temporary pain on their patients than when they spare them the pain but ensure a much greater suffering later on, the rule of divine compassion is sometimes stern, necessarily so, and may not be immediately appreciated by its recipients. Hence, the following and further request is my legacy, Swamiji says. 3, that my successor's first consideration be not public opinion, nor an individual's needs as construed by that person, but a sincere effort at attunement with the will of God and with his love. 4, that God and Guru's will, not the mere pleasure of human beings, nor any considerations of worldly popularity, be Ananda's first consideration in all its decisions and actions. It is my hope, finally, that Ananda will always remain faithful to the following priorities. A, our primary goal is to find God and to unite our souls with him in divine love. Our secondary goal is to serve God above all, free from the influences of passing fads and opinions. That's our mission. Every single one of us, we have to take this to heart. No compromise, compassion, kindness, people, putting people first in their spiritual needs, just like the little housemaid in her grief. People were more important. Swami was probably writing a book, but he stopped and he comforted her. And to find the way, sometimes the choices we have to make in life are hard, but if we feel they are God's will, we must do them, because only thus we fulfill the mission of the masters and we fulfill Swami's legacy. His gift to us. And you know, it isn't, when you think of a legacy, it's not something imposed on us from the outside. What he's saying is, this is how you will find God. This is the way. This is how I have found him. This is the path you must walk. There's a beautiful statement Sri Yukteswar said in autobiography: the greater the self-realization of a man, the greater the impact he has on the entire universe by the subtle vibrations of his consciousness. This legacy is Swami's consciousness. It's a song. It's a temple of light. It's a community. It's a friend helping a friend. It's a friend drying another friend's tears, are laughing in joy. As we saw in the peace treaty excerpt the other evening, the leader of one of the nations, was discouraged because his peace treaty had been totally mocked and shredded by the other materialistic, selfish clans. And the peace treaty, I've seen it many times, but it was so poignant to hear those words. We don't want people crossing our borders. We don't want them flooding cheap goods into our nation. Where are we living? This is where we're living, right? This world out there. But the greater the realization, God realization of a man, the greater the impact his consciousness can have on the world around us. And Swamiji's self-realization and his legacy to us can change the world in which we live if we live it ourselves. And then the wise hermit comes and says to the discouraged Lord Kristar, who wrote the peace treaty, he said, changes in consciousness and peace can never be achieved by governments or political leaders. They have to be changed by the change of consciousness of each individual human heart. And that, in the end, is Swami's legacy to us. To become aware that the heart that beats in my breast is the same heart that beats in your breast, is the same heart that beats in the child, the Mexican child in the detention center with no water and no food. Their heart is my heart. And this is what we must always remember. This is Master and Swami's legacy. And in that outstanding chapter in Autobiography of a Yogi, An Experience in Cosmic Consciousness, when Sri Yukteswar calls Master that one fine day, and he said, "Your wish will be fulfilled," and he taps him on the chest, and he goes into samadhi, into cosmic consciousness. And he sees first his vision becomes 365 degrees, 65? Yeah. all around him. And then he begins to see further, and he sees all the forms, Sri Teshwar's body, my body. It was like the building, the cows, they were like little sugar crystals in water, and they all began dissolving. And I began perceiving the countryside and the nation and the planet and the solar system. It was all a part of me, and I was a part of it. And the universes, and then shimmering out with no end. And then Master says, and this is what I so love about my guru, he always brings it right back home. He says, "And I saw the universe, all creation, as the lights of a city twinkling afar, and I realized that the center of all this imperium, all this creation, was a point of intuitive perception in the human heart. That's the center of it all." And that's what Swami's trying to tell us. If you want to find God, if you want to change the world, find that center within your own heart that is universal, that beats in all hearts, the Jew, the Christian, the Muslim, the Sikh, the Hindu, the atheist. It's the same heart that beats in all of our breasts. And Swami is saying, remember, that's how you will find God, when you know that and when you live that. And Sri Kartikeyan began his talk speaking of when Jyotish and I were at the United Nations and received that, the Global Ambassador of Peace Award on behalf of Master and Swami and all of Ananda. But for me, the most glorious moment, what a gift. I got to read in the United Nations chapel Master's prayer for a united world. And his words rang out to all the nations. And he said, "We must free our hearts from hatred and selfishness." And we read his words, and they reverberated in that building. And he said, "Nations must find the way to live in harmony, and hand in hand, we can march through the gate to a fair new civilization." This is no less than what Swami and Master and Ananda's and yours and mine. This is the gift that we've been given in this lifetime, to live in this way and to demonstrate it in every way that we can. And together, we will look back and we can say, perhaps from the astral world, a fair new civilization was born because God's love was born in the bosom of humanity. Let us do our part.
Let's close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Friend, Beloved God, Great Masters of love and joy, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, Beloved Guru, Paramahansa Yoganandaji, Saints of all religions, Beloved Swamiji, awaken your love in my heart. Let it blossom until this world can no longer contain it. And let me share thy love with everyone I meet, through every word I speak, through every act, through every thought. I am thine, now and forever. Be thou mine. Om. Peace. Amen.
And let us now chant Om and send out this mission, this legacy, this vision of a fair new civilization throughout the world. Keith, that he may recover fully and be with us in strength. Each one of us to think of someone we know who is in need right now across the world or far away. And let's send a network of light and love and compassion and kindness, joining together our light in a fabric, a beautiful tapestry of light that circles the globe. Oh.